specifically with the energies of the quantum states in which all the atom's electrons occupy allowed orbits, and with the rates at which an atom might spontaneously make a transition from any one of these quantum states to any other state by emitting a particle of light, a photon. Heisenberg made what he called a table from these rates, and he introduced mathematical operations on this table that would yield new tables, one type of table for each physical quantity, like the position or the velocity or the square of the velocity of an electron. More accurately, the entries in Heisenberg's tables were what are called transition amplitudes, quantities whose squares give the transition rates. Heisenberg was told after he returned to Göttingen from Helgoland that his mathematical operations on these tables were already well known to mathematicians. Such tables were known to mathematicians as matrices, and the operation by which one goes from the table representing the velocity of an electron to the table representing its square was known as matrix multiplication. This is one example of the spooky ability of mathematicians to anticipate structures that are relevant to the real world. Knowing how the energy of a particle in a simple system depends on its velocity and position, Heisenberg was able in this way to calculate a table of the energies of the system in its various quantum states, in a sort of parody of the way that the energy of a planet is calculated in Newton's physics from a knowledge of its position and velocity. If the reader is mystified at what Heisenberg was doing, he or she is not alone. I have tried several times to read the paper that Heisenberg wrote on returning from Helgoland, and although I think I understand quantum mechanics, I've never understood Heisenberg's motivations for the mathematical steps in his paper. Theoretical physicists, in their most successful work, tend to play one of two roles. They are either sages or magicians. The sage physicist reasons in an orderly way about physical problems on the basis of fundamental ideas of the way that nature ought to be. Einstein, for example, in developing the general theory of relativity, was playing the role of a sage. He had a well-defined problem, how to fit the theory of gravitation into the new view of space and time that he had proposed in 1905 as the special theory of relativity. He had some valuable clues, in particular the remarkable fact discovered by Galileo that the motion of small bodies in a gravitational field are independent of the nature of the bodies. This suggested to Einstein that gravitation might be a property of space-time itself. Einstein also had available a well-developed mathematical theory of curved spaces that had been worked out by Riemann and other mathematicians in the 19th century. It is possible to teach general relativity today by following pretty much the same line of reasoning that Einstein used when he finally wrote up his work in 1915.